You started these Wormwood Nights here at the Loft Bar, and it's kind of a different sound, kind of psychedelic, kind of experimental. What made you want to start that kind of night here?
It was initially the space. I got offered to host a night once a month by a friend of mine who knew that I liked to put on parties and gigs. And when I saw the space, it was just the idea that came to mind. It reminded me of absinthe and psychedelic music, and there were different spaces in there that were all adaptable. So I wanted to get a lot of visual artists and things like that in and try and create a really kind of immersive, I know everyone can't see it then, but I've got my fingers doing quotation marks, immersive environment, and that's kind of what Wormwood became, and sort of grew from there.
Was there a lot of that kind of gig nights happening in Sydney at the time?
I like to think Wormwood was different, but I would say that. But it's not just about the music at Wormwood. It's the entire environment and the whole experience of being there and the visuals and things like that. And it really creates a different sort of vibe. So it's not a gig. And I think there's a lot of gigs, but there's not real kind of experiences.
So you're trying to kind of do a whole kind of curatorial approach to that.
Yeah.
And so when did you have the idea? It's like, why don't I just make a camping festival?
It was the name that came to mind first, and it was sort of a joke at first. I think I had a bit of a laugh when I thought Wormwood Stock, and then I was like, hang on, that's a really good idea. And I told a few friends over a few months, and we all kind of had a laugh about it, but I was like, no, I think I'm serious, I'm going to do this. And that was after Wormwood had been running for about 6 months, and then about 6 months later, finally the right property kind of came up, and we started to get the ball rolling, and now it's happening.
So what does one need to set up a music festival?
Well, I think the main thing is just kind of the belief that it can work out and that everything is going to turn out fine, because otherwise there's a lot of logistical organizing of this and that and getting people and lighting and staging and things like that. But it's just the faith that it's going to go okay, everything's going to fall into place properly, and also just trusting and calling out to other people for help, because we've had a lot of people just jump on board and want to do it for free and just help out, and that's been wonderful. So if people have the right intentions and want to, you know, be on board with this kind of thing, then it's going
to
happen.
Well, that's what I really find interesting, because when I first saw it come up, it's not like you said, hey, I've got a festival, come to it. You said, no, I want to put on a festival. What, are you a band? Do you want to play for me? Do you want to help out in some way? Do you want to put down some money to be able to go to this festival? So how long did it take you to raise enough money to put it on?
We did it on the Possible crowdfunding website. I think we had a window open for 2 months there where people could donate money. And our goal was 3,500, and we managed to reach that on the last day. In the last couple of days, that's where kind of there was a big rush of people donating money and stuff. Sorry, what was the original question?
I was wondering how long it took to raise the $3,500.
Yeah, so 2 months, and we've still got tickets on sale now, but at least we know we've got that money that's going to be able to make it happen. And it's not just, you know, a festival that we're putting on because we feel like it. Everyone should be involved, and it's everyone's festival, you know, all the bands and everything. So I think that's why crowdfunding was the right way to go about it.
Yeah, how fast did bands jump on board?
We got a lot of emails, and I already had a lot of bands in mind that I really wanted to play. So unfortunately, I had to turn a lot of bands down. But the bill kind of came together pretty quickly, and I'm pretty happy.
And this is just to play for free?
No, I'm hoping we can pay everyone. Yeah, especially because there's a bit of travel and stuff. And I think, everyone should be paid for their effort and their work and their time as well. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the diversity of music that we're going to be hearing on these few days.
It's a big mix. It kind of fits under this broad name of psychedelic music, but it's everything from ambient glitch producers to actual kind of rock psychedelic garage bands and things like that, and everything sort of in between. But they're mostly bands that can be classed as DIY. They're definitely not mainstream. They're not popular, unless you're kind of sort of into undergroundish kind of music. But they're just fantastic, and the reason that they've been programmed for the festival is because they bring something a bit different, and it's going to be, I think, a really stimulating sort of thing to be watching them.
So if someone wants to get tickets, where's the best place they can go to?
At the moment, we've got really limited tickets available on greentix.com.au. There's 98 left right now, and then that's it. We want it to be fairly small and intimate, so that'll be it. There'll probably be about 300 people all up.
So it's running from the 27th to the 29th of January, and it's just an hour and a half outside of Sydney.